coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Love Letters, a Bible study on the epistles with Pastor Arno Bessel of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon.
Welcome to the series of Bible studies on the second letter of the Apostle Paul to Timothy. While Paul was in Philippi, Greece, he wrote the first letter to Timothy, who was the pastor in Ephesus, Turkey. That happened about the year 65 AD. A little later, Paul was imprisoned in Rome under Emperor Nero, circa 66 to 67 AD. It was during this time that Paul wrote the second letter to Timothy. In contrast to Paul's first imprisonment, when he lived in a rented house, he now languished in a cold dungeon, chained like a common criminal. His friends even had difficulties to finding out where he was kept. Paul knew that his work was done and his life was nearly at end. Paul had at least two reasons for writing to Timothy at this time. One, he was lonely. Former nearby friends had deserted Paul and others were away. Only Luke was with Paul. So Paul wanted very much for Timothy to join him also. Timothy was his fellow worker, who, as a son with his father, had served closely with Paul. Of him, Paul could say, "I have no one else like him." Paul longed for Timothy and twice asked him to come soon. A second reason for Paul writing to Timothy was that he was concerned about the welfare of the churches during this time of persecution under Nero. Paul admonished Timothy to guard the gospel, to persevere in it, to keep on preaching it, and if necessary, to suffer for it. 2 Timothy can be considered Paul's farewell letter, in which he exhorts Timothy to go on propagating the gospel. This was quite necessary, since there were many who fell away, and false teachers with false doctrines appeared all around. Paul also prophesies concerning the dangerous time at the end of the world. It is also then that a false spiritual life will lead many astray, with an outward show, under which every sort of wickedness and wrong will have its fling. Sadly, this is what we can notice nowadays. Now we can go into the text of the letter as such. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, we read as follows. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul follows a common pattern in his letters. First, he identifies himself, the author of the letter. He is Paul, a former persecutor of Christ and his church. Now he is an apostle, a man sent out and especially commissioned. He is an apostle of Christ Jesus, the Lord and Savior of sinners. It was not he who chose to become an apostle, but he became an apostle by the will of God. In other words, it was God who chose and sent Paul. Through the preaching of the gospel of Christ, God extends to people the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus. Proclaiming this promise was Paul's mission. God promises eternal life to all who are joined to Christ Jesus. To whom does Paul address the letter? He addresses it to Timothy, my beloved child, as he says. These are intimate words that flow from a heart full of love. Paul was not the physical father of Timothy, but the father in the faith. Paul greets Timothy, saying, "Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord." This greeting expresses the genuine desire of Paul for God to grant his best gifts to Timothy. Grace is God's favor towards sinners who deserve nothing except eternal punishment. Mercy is God's compassion in Christ Jesus going out toward sinners who are doomed to condemnation. Peace is the reconciliation between sinners and God brought about by Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, granting forgiveness of sins to all who believe in Jesus. It is my sincere desire that grace, mercy, and peace be also with you and enrich your life. After the opening words of the letter, Paul continues to write in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3-7. "I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." Paul thanks God whom he serves as his ancestors served. The ancient people of Israel who lived by faith served God. So also Paul is serving God as an apostle. He does it with a clear conscience, that is, sure that by faith in Christ his sins are deleted and forgiven. Do you thank God for who he is and for what he did for you? Take a moment and identify some of the great things God has done for you and given to you, particularly through Christ Jesus. Then give him thanks. Paul also prays constantly for Timothy. A great geographical distance stood between Paul and Timothy. What could Paul do for Timothy? He could pray for him, and he did so. Are you far away from your parents, your spouse, your children, your boyfriend or girlfriend? Well, technology allows us to keep in touch. However, one of the best things you can do from the distance is to pray for your loved ones. Pray that God's grace, mercy, and peace be with them. Paul remembered Timothy's tears. Paul perhaps remembered Timothy shedding tears at their latest parting. Separation of people who dearly love each other causes the shedding of tears. I suspect you know how it is, don't you? Now Paul is confined to prison. He is alone. He longs to see Timothy, and that would fill him with joy. If we try to put ourselves in Paul's shoes, we may understand a little better what the desire to meet Timothy meant to him. Because of Paul's affection for Timothy, and because of the imminent death Paul was facing, the apostle had an intense yearning to see Timothy. While in prison, Paul remembered the sincere faith of Timothy, a faith that dwelt first in Timothy's grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. Timothy's mother was a Jewish Christian, and his grandmother also became a Christian. Both of them taught Timothy the Christian faith from infancy. They passed the faith to Timothy by reading and speaking the Word of God to him. This family sets an impressive example to us today. Christian parents will make sure to take their infant children to holy baptism. Then, as soon as possible, Christian parents will share the gospel of Jesus with their children, reading and telling stories from the Bible, and praying with them and for them. Christian parents will take their children regularly to church, there to attend divine services, Bible school, and the like. Christian parents will make every effort to provide Christian instruction for their children as they advance in their infancy and teens. The best heritage parents can pass on to the children is the Christian faith. How are you doing in this respect? Timothy had been initiated in the Christian faith. However, it should not stop there. Paul said to him, "I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." Timothy is challenged to seek the proper means to grow in faith, love, and service. Gifts are not given in full bloom. They need to be developed through use and practice. Paul reminds Timothy that as a steward of his God-given gift for preaching, teaching, and evangelizing, he could not let it fall into disuse. Apparently, Timothy lacked confidence in his role as a pastor. So Paul advises him not to fear, not to be timid in face of hostility and persecution. Paul reminds Timothy that God gives his servants a spirit of power and love and self-control. God has already given believers all the spiritual resources they need for every trial and threat. God grants constantly his love to believers so that they can love too, in spite of adverse circumstances. God also supplies believers with the strength to keep their weaknesses in control. In the sequence of his writing, Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 to 12, "Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me as his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now he has manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do." Paul encourages Timothy to be bold in his testimony about the Lord. There is nothing to be ashamed of the gospel message. Since Timothy was a friend of Paul, the fact that the apostle was imprisoned because of the gospel he preached should not embarrass Timothy either. God supplies power to his witnesses to face persecution, temptation, and every other adversary. Christ suffered while he carried out his mission. If his witnesses suffer, they share in the suffering for the gospel. God called preachers and believers in general to a holy calling. He called preachers to the ministry. He called believers to their callings in the realm of family, church, and society. A Christian's daily work is indeed a holy calling and a priestly work because of God's gift of faith. Paul underlines the truth that God calls believers to a holy calling, not because of their works, not because of their qualities or virtues or merits. God calls believers because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave to them in Christ Jesus before the ages began. God knew, even before creation, that in the fullness of time he would give his Son to die for us. Before we existed, yes, even before the foundation of the world was laid, when of course we could do nothing good, we were chosen by grace in Christ to salvation, according to God's purpose. God manifested His purpose and grace in Jesus' birth, in His ministry, in His passion, death, and resurrection. Particularly in Jesus' resurrection, God manifests that He abolished death, overcame and destroyed it. He brought life, even life eternal, and immortality to light. These good news are revealed in the gospel which Paul preached, which Timothy preached, and which faithful preachers announce today. Paul continues to write in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 to 14. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me, in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Paul suffered because he was an apostle and preacher, but that was no reason for him to be ashamed. Paul had no fear of persecution and death for preaching the gospel in a hostile setting because he was so confident God had sealed his future glory and blessing. He was certain that by faith in Jesus Christ he was safe. Paul was also certain that the gospel that had been entrusted to him will be safely guarded until the day when Jesus will come to judge the living and the dead. Paul advises Timothy to follow the pattern of the sound words that he had heard from the apostle. Timothy should preach the same message Paul preached. Paul also recommends Timothy to guard the good deposit, that is, the gospel entrusted to him. Finally, Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 to 18. You are aware that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains, but when he arrived in Rome he searched for me earnestly and found me. May the Lord grant him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. And you well know all the service he rendered at Ephesus. On a personal note, Paul states that he had been abandoned by former friends, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. Nothing else is known about these two men except their names. Being unjustly bound in prison and being forgotten must be terrible. Paul, however, commends the household of Onesiphorus. They had been a great support to Paul earlier in Ephesus. Now Onesiphorus and his family provided food, clothing, and other items for Paul in Rome. Onesiphorus was not embarrassed of Paul's imprisonment. He came from his hometown Ephesus to Rome and searched for Paul till he found him and then supported him. Paul wishes Onesiphorus that the Lord may grant him to find mercy from the Lord on the judgment day. Dear listener, think of people, including prisoners, who may be in need. Could you support them with material means and with the gospel? Thank you for reflecting with us in this study. Join us again next time.
This study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arno Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.